bring my Bible down when we have our children moments, but I did today because there's some words in our New Testament reading, and it says, "This is my dearly beloved son. Listen to him." I got thinking about listening. Do we listen to God all the time? Well, no, we don't. And it reminded me of when I was a baseball coach for my kids. And I went through 18 years of coaching my boys. And I remember the first game when they were just little guys. And the first boy that was up swung at a wild pitch. Well, then you know what happens. Everyone's, don't swing. There's a lot of advice from the parents sitting in the bleachers. I was one of those parents, too, at one time. So. But they kind of lost the focus on who to listen to. And so as a coach, we, our team of coaches, don't listen to the crowd. Don't listen to anybody. Listen to us. You know, we've practiced. We teach you how to hit. We teach you how to field. Listen to your coaches. And that was what struck me in this. It says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Because God's got something to tell us. He's our coach. And he helps us. And I know you can relate, Dawson, to listening to the coach when you're playing ball. And it makes a big difference. And it will make a big difference in all of our lives if we pay attention and listen to God. Because he is our coach. So you guys want to pray with me? God, you have told us to listen to Jesus. As we read his words in the Bible this morning, we are listening to him. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world. And thank you for all these little souls that are here right now. Father, bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's gospel reading comes from Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." Here ends the reading. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words I speak be those you want spoken, and may the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had a bona fide mountaintop experience? A time when you felt an unusual outpouring of the Holy Spirit? A one-on-one encounter with Jesus or God? A feeling of ecstasy in which you were momentarily lifted from the mundane physical world and elevated to the world of the Spirit? Many people have mountaintop experiences. Some have them at retreats or summer camp, or others on a mission trip. Sometimes the person is alone, sometimes they're in a group. Each experience, though, was personal and unique, and as varied as the individual that experienced them. They ranged from a simple warm glow to an out-of-body experience or having a vision. Now, while I can't begin to rationally explain mountaintop experiences, I don't doubt their realness one bit. Mountaintop experiences are something we've known about for a long time. And a good example is in John's testimony in the 21st chapter of Revelations, where he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea is no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, Behold, God's dwelling is with people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away from them every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Now, the Bible is filled with mountaintop experiences. For example, Abraham, who had a vision in which God told him all that was about to come. He was going to have a son, and through him become the father of a multitude, and how he would prosper in every way and live to a ripe old age and die in peace. And then there was Jacob, who wrestled with an angel all night until he received a blessing and a new name. And Samson, who called on the power of God to bring down the mighty Philistines. And who could forget Ezekiel and the valley of dry bones? The list goes on and on. Each one has something in common, a close personal encounter with God. Today in the Old Testament, Moses stands in the presence of God on Mount Sinai and receives the Ten Commandments. And in the New Testament, Jesus stands between Moses and Elijah on Mount Hermon as a voice from heaven says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And so this morning, I'd like for us to think about mountaintop experiences, those you've had and those you've heard about. My hope is we'll be able to put them in perspective in such a way as to strengthen our faith and bolster our witness to the living Christ among us. To begin, let's just say right up front that mountaintop experiences are important. Like romance in a relationship or a breakthrough on the job, they're icing on the cake. They're what you get through the day-to-day toil and grind of everyday living. For example, we all know it takes more than puppy love to sustain a healthy marriage or build a strong family. It takes hard work. But if that's all you've got, it's not much fun. You need moments of intimacy and ecstasy every once in a while to make it worthwhile. Moments in which you look back and smile at yourself and say something like this. All of a sudden, there we were, just the two of us on the ski lift holding hands. That's so precious. Meredith Wilson got it right when he penned these words. There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. That's from The Music Man. It's the same. It's true with our jobs. A mountaintop experience for a salesman might come in closing the deal of a lifetime. For an attorney, it's winning that big case. And for a teacher, it's in seeing a student make it to the big league. A mountaintop experience may come but once in a lifetime. Yet the satisfaction that one moment can linger forever and make all the drudgery and hard work worth the effort. Mountaintop experiences are important. And that's the first point. But it's not like you can pick them up at the store. And that's the second point. Mountaintop experiences are a gift. You can't manufacture them or conjure them up on demand. As often as not, they come without warning when you least expect them. Mountaintop experiences are a gift of grace. They're also the catalyst of transformation. Matthew says that Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Those who have had a genuine mountaintop experience are transformed in the process. There's a pastor that tells about when his wife and him took a group of youth on a mission trip to Ecuador. They did a vacation Bible school in a little town. He says it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. One of the youth they took was a girl named Brent. And according to the pastor, he says, to be honest, she wasn't on his list of kids who were cut out for mission work. But that, as it is, she signed up and she did her part. A few years later, she called this pastor out of the blue, asking if he would write a letter recommendation for her. As it turned out, she was applying for the Peace Corps. The pastor says, Brent, applying for the Peace Corps? The same Brent who kept losing her passport and asking, are we almost there? She laughed and then said in all seriousness, that experience changed my life. Mountaintop experiences are the catalysts for transformation. When you've been to the mountaintop, you never see things quite in the same way again. But they're not meant to last forever. And that was Peter's problem. He wanted to hold on to that moment. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want, let's make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It's also the problem of those who've been to a marriage enrichment seminar or gone on the walk to Emmaus. Try as you may, it's just about impossible to keep that old flame burning. Mountaintop experiences are best understood as moments in time. Significant moments, to be sure. Moments in time that seems to stop and the whole world stands still. But moments, nonetheless. In which case, it's nice to keep a journal or a scrapbook to flip through every once in a while and then put it back on the shelf as you go on to whatever God has in store for you next. Mountaintop experiences eventually lead to the valley below. Look at what follows at the heels of Jesus' transfiguration. He and Peter and James and John come down from the mountaintop only to meet a man who has a son who has epilepsy, and he's begging Jesus to heal him. So much for the ecstasy. There's work to be done and not a moment to spare. Mountaintop experiences are best seen as fleeting moments in time, leading to a new chapter of sacrifice and service to the glory of God. And this is seen in the sacrament of Holy Communion. It recalls the Last Supper, where Jesus met his disciples in an upper room to share a meal and celebrate Passover. Can you imagine how many meals they've shared in the course of their time together? We know, for example, they've eaten in the home of Mary and Martha and in the home of Zacchaeus. Undoubtedly, they ate most of their meals on the road as they traveled the hills of Galilee together. Yet, of all the times of breaking bread together, this one meal stands out as a mountaintop experience. For as Jesus broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And as he poured the wine, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." All of a sudden, they were on the mountaintop with Jesus. It was a moment they'd never forget. But then what? Just as quickly as it began, it was over. And they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would be arrested and they would be scattered in the four winds and in time persecuted and put to death. Mountaintop experiences are important. They're a gift of God's grace and love. They're the catalyst for transformation. They're not meant to last forever, for they are inevitably led to the valley below. I can't think of a better illustration than the speech Dr. Martin Luther King delivered on April 3, 1968. It was given in Memphis, Tennessee, the day before he was assassinated, and it's entitled, "I've Been to the Mountaintop." And the last paragraph of Dr. King's words says this: "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountains, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." May God give us each such a mountaintop experience as this, that by God's grace, we too can be instruments of peace and love and help to reconcile the world for God. Let us pray. Light of light, true God of true bread, as you spoke from the pillar of cloud to Moses and the people, as you spoke from the bright cloud to Jesus and his disciples, may your word today through us, that your word of sorrow be transfigured into joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.